Thanks, Pastor Yuri and kids, for that great introduction as to where we're going to be going today in our further discussion of Joseph and his difficulties. I don't think it'd be more appropriate to have Andrew and Courtney here talking about going through life's difficulties and kind of coming out on the other side. The story of Joseph is clearly one of persevering in times of difficulty. And I think that if you're an optimist, it could be overcoming obstacles on our journey towards God. Both of these are absolutely true. Let's just pause and pray together. Lord, help us as we look into the life of Joseph, this amazing narrative from thousands of years ago, a story that has really captured the minds of people and theologians and just regular folk for years and years and years. Help us to take the important points of this to give us comfort in our own times of difficulty, to give us a sense of the joy we can face as obstacles are overcome. Lord, above all, let this discussion that we have today increase our faith in you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And then just a shout out for the kids. I asked my wife, Kate, if I could bring Timbits this morning, and she said, absolutely not. And so we don't have Timbits, which is my usual ammunition for the kids. But notwithstanding that, I want us to have some thinking of, at least the kids with good imaginations can think about Timbits. When I was 11 years old, I discovered my brother after he had taken his own life. And that was a very incredibly difficult series of days for me. But it shaped who I am today. Very in short order, while I was crying out to God for help, our neighborhood, which was primarily River Heights here, a Jewish neighborhood, they came and sat Shiva with us. And sitting Shiva is a Jewish tradition where for 7 days you go to the bereaved family. And as an 11-year-old, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what taking your own life represented. I didn't know what my brother was suffering from at the time. But this kind of juxtaposition of this terrible tragedy with love of God's people in our home taught me something. So I learned from tragedy. And I think that that's what we're going to get out of our story today, is that we can learn from tragedy. There is no, it's all going to be good, Christian life promise. That's not what it is. But it is that you can find comfort with God's people through your difficulties. I didn't become a Christian until I was in my first year of medical school around the age of 21. I'd fallen in love with Kate. Kate and her family helped me become a Christian, and that was a wonderful time for me. We had a pastor at the church who was greatly helpful to me, escorting me through Bible study, and there was another young associate pastor who had come, and he also took a great interest in me, came to the hospital and visited me when I was doing my studies. But in short order, those two came into conflict. And Kate and I had a bit of a bump in our relationship, and we had broken up, and I was here at Bethesda. My two church leaders had left, kind of in a bit of a problem, you would say. I was having difficulty with my girlfriend at the time. It was kind of like, how am I going to navigate these waters? This is kind of difficult. There's trouble in life. So I think that we all acknowledge that life can be hard. And it can be hard inside these walls and outside of these walls. So that for our time together, I just want you to consider, what are your biggest challenges in life right now? We clearly all have challenges, even in North America. I think of our dear friend ENS coming from war-torn Afghanistan, persecution, danger for their life, people being jailed. We don't have it like that in North America. But we have difficulty. What are your difficulties? Are you in conflict with people in your family or in your church or in your community? Are your kids in trouble? Are your kids addicted? Is work a gong show for you? Are you overworked, undervalued, feeling that you're in a lot of trouble? Maybe you're at a different stage of life and your parents are failing and it's regular trips to the nursing home or regular trips to their home, hoping they don't fall, hoping they don't become ill. Maybe you've been rejected by your family for your faith. Maybe the culture rejects you and your friends have rejected you because of your faith. Maybe your own health is failing. Maybe you're in financial trouble. So I think it's good that we have as our central truth for our message today words directly from the Master himself, from Jesus. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. From John 16:33. So this idea that God's gym is the gym of suffering. God's gym is the gym of suffering. When I have patients who say to me, "Doctor, I'm having trouble going up the stairs," I say, "You have to do more stairs." Strength training is the most important part of all-cause mortality prevention. And then in the Christian life, strength training typically comes through difficulty. That's the sad reality I have for all of us. So for our story today, we'll focus on the life of Joseph the patriarch. And this lesson, this narrative about perseverance in times of difficulty through the iconic story of Joseph, this is one of the most compelling narratives in the Bible. And it's very interesting to see modern day intellectuals now look at these ancient stories of the Bible and talk about their richness, how they weave together a tapestry of information, of history, culture, and divine providence. We go from Joseph's betrayal by his own family, his brothers, to his rise to power in Egypt and his role in saving an entire nation from famine, as Yuri alluded to today. His story is one of resilience, wisdom, and faith. So what I'd like us to get today is these following points. Through Genesis 40 and 41, we should be prepared for a season of trouble. Those seasons of difficulty, unfortunately, can be long. The difficulty does not mean that God is not working behind the scenes. And we must hope and pray that our faith is not trashed by these difficulties. The story of Joseph indicates that faith and perseverance will be rewarded. And at the end, we'll just talk about this idea that Joseph is a representation of Jesus. So what is the context of Genesis 40? Over the last few weeks, Yuri has gone through this idea that our culture has changed drastically, and this has had an impact on the church. And we've looked at this through the lens of Joseph and his family. Let's just be frank. Joseph's family was a mess. It goes way, way back. We won't review everything, but his family was a mess. And perhaps you can relate to that. My family growing up was a mess. Maybe your family growing up was a mess. Maybe your family now is a mess. We as parents do everything we can so that our families are not a mess. But still, sometimes we fail. Joseph's life has been an incredible mess. He has had so many things going wrong. Let's just review a few of these things. So we first of all start off as the favorite son of Rachel and Jacob. But within short order, likely because of his arrogance and hubris, he was rejected and accosted by his brothers, his own family, dumped naked in a pit to die. None of us have gone through anything like that. He was dumped in the pit by his family. He was sold into slavery, again, by his family. No status, no future. Yet, he became what the scholars refer to as a vizier. He would become the main proponent of Pharaoh's house, an esteemed manager. From the pit of slavery to an esteemed manager, you see this idea of Joseph's life like a sine wave. Potiphar's wife had tried to seduce him. He resisted in a righteous fashion. He was accused of trying to seduce her and rape her and was ultimately jailed. It's very clear from looking at the life of Joseph that we should prepare for a time of difficulty. God helped Joseph during his time as a slave. From chapter 39, this passage says, "No one is greater in this house than I," says Joseph. "My master has withheld nothing from me except you, Potiphar's wife, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph uses his obedience to the Lord, but unfortunately it gets him in trouble and ultimately in jail. So chapters 39 to 41 of Genesis continue this theological and moral narrative, this story of Egyptian customs, administration, social, political conditions. And these are culturally and historically accurate documents. They talk about dream interpretation, probably things that none of us really talk about on a regular basis. But this was very important at the time. We'll spend a little bit of time looking at dream interpretation. The one thing we can conclude from looking at the life of Joseph, and this is our main point for today, is that in this world we should prepare for times of difficulty. As the Master said, in this world we will have trouble. So how can we go on? Joseph shows us that even though he went through a series of brutal events, stops and starts, this question is raised in our minds. How could he trust God? How can we trust God? Are God's promises trustworthy? So let's follow the story together and see if we can answer that question. Chapter 40 begins with Joseph in prison. His total time of incarceration, as Yuri talked about last week, may have been up to 13 years. We don't know the exact time, but that's a long time in jail. He encounters the butler and the baker. The butler, probably better referred to as the wine steward, he who looked after the cup of wine given to the Pharaoh, to the king. The baker, in charge of many, many things, catering banquets, preparing food. These would be two very, very important men in the life of the Pharaoh. These men were imprisoned, and most scholars seem to believe that somebody had probably engineered a hit on the Pharaoh. They had tried to kill him. David Guzik is one who says this is what scholars refer to. And so that these two men, one of them probably guilty, had been thrown in jail, the butler and the baker. They had tried to exercise a hit on the Pharaoh. From a supernatural perspective, it seems that God wanted them to meet Jesus. Joseph shows us his character while in prison. Joseph was a hard worker. He was bright. He was gifted. He's described as being handsome and well-built. He had a lot of gifts, yet terrible things had happened to him. So he was working hard. He was now given a role of supervision in prison. He approached his new cellmates with compassion. His first words to them are, "Guys, why do you look so sad today?" He was kind to them. He could have been centered on his own hurts. "I can't believe that I'm here. I have no joy." He could have been like the elder brother in the parable of the two lost sons, unhappy at his misfortune. But he cared for these people and wanted to serve them. He did not pout. This is a good lesson for how we might face difficulty. How do you face difficulty? What's your MO when you have difficulty in your life? Do you get angry? Fight back hard? Do you become anxious? "Oh no, things are crumbling around me." Do you withdraw? Do you pout? Do you suppress things? Stick them way down, not deal with them? It seems to me Joseph just kept on working. He just kept on working. He wasn't really thinking about himself. Maybe these are good lessons for us. So back to our dreams. Let's just have a brief word on dreams. Sorry. Joseph was called to interpret dreams, and this held a lot of cultural significance at the time. It was a religious aspect, it was a political aspect. In ancient Egypt, it was a key practice. Individuals who seemed to understand dreams, this would help them understand the will of the gods, predict future events, and make critical decisions about things in their world. The biblical narrative of Joseph sees dream interpretation figuring very prominently. It's perhaps the central part of what happens in this story. Given the importance of dreams at the time, there were interpreters of dreams. These people would be like priests or other kind of scribes, and they would specialize in understanding and explaining dreams to people of power. They were highly respected people and given roles both religious and in terms of the state, and they were consulted by very, very powerful people, including the Pharaoh, other high-ranking officials. They could provide counsel. The Bible has many, many examples of God speaking to people through dreams. God spoke to Abimelech in a dream. He spoke to Jacob in a dream. He spoke to Laban in a dream. He spoke to the Midianite in a dream. He spoke to Solomon in a dream. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. He spoke to Daniel in a dream. He spoke to Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, in a dream. And he spoke to Pilate's wife in a dream. It's interesting that God speaks to unbelievers about twice as much as he speaks to believers about dreams. There are many, many fascinating stories coming out of the Muslim world about Muslims experiencing dreams about Jesus. I think it's a great deal of caution required for our current interpretation of dreams. We all dream. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says that a dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. Caution in terms of speaking with dreams. We need great discernment when we talk about dreams. Not all dreams are revelations. Some of them are because you just had bad pizza. I just thought I would just focus on this for a brief moment. Although we want to talk about dreams because it's part of our sermon for today and part of our passage for today, God's ultimate way of speaking to us is through Jesus. Hebrews 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, including dreams. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the heaven. In the majesty of heaven." So God speaks to us now mostly through Jesus Christ and Scripture. Now, back to the dreams. Yuri went through these two dreams, and I won't spend too much time going through them today, except to say that they're radically different. The first dream, to the butler or the wine steward, it's good. You're back making wine, you're giving it to the Pharaoh, and in 3 days, looks like something good is going to happen to you. It's an obvious great dream for the butler or the wine steward. He's going to be restored to his old position. The baker's dream is a nightmare. So he's got this bread on his head and ravens and birds are eating it. And Joseph says, "You're going to have a beheading and be impaled on a spike." So we have crazy opposite dreams. To the butler, to the wine steward, and to the baker. This is the tough reality of the scripture we're reading today. And then there's this 3 days is emphasized. In 3 days. And clearly we can see that allusion to Jesus Christ. 3 days. The 3 days obviously comes from God. Here's from Genesis 40. "Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer, the wine steward, and the chief baker in the presence of all his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that once again he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to him in his interpretation." radically different outcomes for our two cellmates of Joseph. It appeared that the butler was innocent. The baker was probably guilty. And this is an allusion to justice. Restoration versus beheading. Salvation versus judgment and condemnation. We have to acknowledge the wine steward's outcome, and we have to acknowledge the baker's outcome, and we have to acknowledge that there's something binary about the Christian faith that we walk. This is a powerful binary story. It's kind of like the sheep and the goats. Two stark different directions for us. However, during this time, Joseph was found to be a true messenger of God because he had said, in 3 days this will happen, and then in 3 days it did happen. God spoke through Joseph. And it would be fair to say, okay, now something good is going to happen. God is speaking through me. Look at what he's given me. Something great is going to happen to dear old Joseph. And he says to the butler, just remember me when you're out back with Pharaoh. Just remember me, please. I've done some good here. But the next in the series of the insults and difficulties in Joseph's life would unfold. The butler, as Yuri told us, forgot about him. Forget about it. Nothing left. Joseph was wronged again. He would be in prison for many more nights. Back in the metaphorical pit. Joseph's life definitely showed us that we need to anticipate difficulty. Betrayal, shame, rejection, physical harm, enslavement, false accusation, prolonged incarceration, helpful acts not acknowledged. How can Joseph go on? Well, difficult times require a commitment to God. I know you're going through difficulties, every person in the room. They require commitment to God. Joseph teaches us that he still acts in a righteous fashion. He still works hard. He demonstrates obedience despite his affliction. He didn't know when his predicament would end. He didn't know when this jail sentence was going to end. He was in a pit. He was a slave. He was in prison. But he said, I serve. How do you think you would do in a circumstance half as bad as that? Is our faith strong enough to handle this affliction? How is your resilience? How do you train it? How do you train your resilience? Joseph's life definitely showed us that we should be prepared for a time of trouble. Now, unfortunately, the next lesson is that the time of trouble can last a long time. Joseph was imprisoned for 2 additional years. We move into chapter 41, and it starts like this. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. This sounds as if it's a really long slog for poor old Joseph. Butler, remember me. I've done good for you. No, not going to remember you. Joseph was in prison, forgotten by Pharaoh, forgotten by the butler. Can you imagine the discouragement and difficulty he would feel? Many lessons come from this. Sometimes we do good, it's not rewarded. Shouldn't stop you from doing good, but it can not be rewarded. Waiting is a common theme of the Christian life. Be prepared to wait. It's said that good things come to those who wait. Yes, the season of difficulty may be long. Our next lesson is that difficult circumstances do not mean that God is not working behind the scenes. And this is where we require faith. God had not abandoned Joseph despite all his troubles. But Joseph would need a deep, resilient, hardworking, obedient faith to endure this trial. The real deal. God often makes us wait much longer than we want to wait. God appoints our stops and our starts. It appears that God's hand was still in this, because when the time was right, the butler knew exactly where Joseph was and knew where to find him. From Genesis chapter 41, and I'm just going to give a little bit of marriage advice to our young couple here. Listen to this. These are fabulous words for anybody who's in a marriage. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, this is the marriage advice, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings." If you were to say that anytime you had a fight with your partner, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings," that's the way to resolve marital issues. And everybody's smiling because we all know it's true. Then the chief cupbearer said to the Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, angry. He thought they tried to kill him. And he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. And each of us had a dream the same night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream." Not telling what happened to the poor baker. "And things turned out exactly as it interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." Binary. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon, where he was shaved and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. So we must pray and hope that our faith is not destroyed by times of difficulty. Have you had a day like this? The day I almost lost my faith. Have you had a day like this? Have you had a day where you thought that, goodness gracious, I don't know where this is going. I don't seem to understand anything about God's plan. But I have to have faith. And it harkens back to one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for those good, of the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We must hope and pray that our faith is not destroyed in times of difficulty. The story of Joseph is ultimately about redemption. Betrayal, shame, rejected by family, physically harmed, enslaved, falsely accused, prolonged incarceration, helpful acts not acknowledged. This is the start of a redemption story. No problem, no need for redemption. Joseph showed us that we need to work through our redemption, clinging to this hope during trouble. We need to believe that all things work together for the good of those who love him. Now, let's look at Pharaoh's dream that got Joseph out of prison. Yuri went through the kind of actual dream itself. And the dream was this kind of, again, a binary, the good, the feast and the famine. 7 good years, 7 bad years. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said that you are the one, when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph, the proud, the hubris, who had told his brothers, "You guys are all going to bow down to me. I had a great dream," sounds different after his incarceration and troubles. His first words back to the Pharaoh is, "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And then Joseph spells out God's interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh's satisfaction. Pharaoh's dream was a revelation from God. God spoke to Pharaoh in his dream. Again, a non-believer. And it provided the ultimate framework for salvation of really an entire generation of Jews and Gentiles. Joseph definitely seems more humble than his prior hubris and arrogance had demonstrated. God would now do the interpreting of dreams for Joseph. And this brings us for our last point of the morning, that faith and perseverance will be rewarded. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You, Joseph, shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." This crazy sine wave of Joseph's life, now back seemingly on the top, after being incarcerated for up to 13 years. It's really quite amazing. And as we wrap up, we'll briefly look at this idea that Joseph is a prefiguring or a type of Jesus. Now, it came to pass on the third day. That third day, the Hebrew scriptures have crazy number things in them that many people get obsessed with. But the third day is a pretty obvious one. We don't have to look at that with too much of a conspiracy theory. In trying to see ourselves in the Bible, we usually want to say, "I am Joseph. I could reveal the mysteries of things to you, the people." There's a place for that every now and then. But more so, you and I are the butler and the baker. In this picture, Jesus is like Joseph to us. An innocent man came into our prison and shared our condition. This innocent prisoner reveals God's message to us. The innocent prisoner was proved right in 3 days. The innocent prisoner brought salvation to the Gentiles and Jews alike. Yes, Joseph shows us many types of Jesus, whose message from God brings us life. If we are looking for a message from God, look no farther than to Jesus. And we'll close with a review of what we talked about today. We should be prepared for a time of trouble. Don't let your faith be shocked when you go through trouble. The seasons of trouble can be long. Joseph's trouble, his jailing, lasted maybe 13 years. The difficulties we face do not mean that God is asleep or dead or not working behind the scenes. Our God is active. We must hope and pray that our faith is not trashed by these difficulties. Ultimately, it seems that faith will be rewarded. That's the story of the Joseph narrative, one of the most famous narratives in all of the history of the world. And Joseph was a representation of Jesus, the innocent prisoner come to bring God's message to us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this amazing narrative of Joseph, and we acknowledge the difficulties that we are in so frequently, often due to our own making. Lord, help us to have faith. Help us to be strong. Help us to understand. Help us to see the way out. Lord, please reward us for our faith. Thank you for this time to consider these important matters. Amen.